theme is clearly conveyed here in the 21st chapter, which is the last chapter of St. John's Gospel. This is a very, very tense chapter, because it's Peter's reinstatement as an apostle, after denying Christ three times before his crucifixion. And John opens this chapter by setting the tone. Peter and the group of disciples, you know, realizing that everything else has kind of fallen apart in life. You know, well, let's just go back to what we've always done. Let's just go back to fishing. Let's just go back to the beginnings. And this is an interesting thing, because oftentimes in situations of change, we go back to what we've always done. We go back to the beginnings. And it is there in the sea that they hear a voice just as day was breaking, calling out, as the scriptures say, "Children, do you have any fish?" Oh, how that little word, children, a term of endearment, a term of relationship, begins to cut and break through the tension of this chapter. It's powerful, and I would encourage you to go back and read the first part. Notice what Jesus does not yell. Does not yell, "Traitors! Backstabbers! Did you catch any fish?" And you're not going to, because for the record, I'm God, and I have told them not to get in your nets. This is not what he does. No, he replies back to his disciples after he's called them children. He says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find something." And what Jesus is doing is not only have they gone back to the beginning, but he's taking them back to the beginnings. He's taking them back to the beginnings. He's referring them back to where Jesus first called them to be his disciples. The opening part of chapter 21, with its imagery, is profound, and it's not to be missed, because it's an illustration of the grace of God active, taking us back to the beginnings. Because in Jesus, he is able to redeem all things by taking us back to our beginnings. He redeems their breakfast, fish and loaves, reminding them of their doubts at his first miracle. He redeems a charcoal fire, which reminds them of Peter, which three chapters back warmed his hands over as he denied his Lord. And what he does by taking them back to the beginnings, pushing his grace, imputing his righteousness, his grace all over the thing, the event, he invites these denying, doubting disciples to have breakfast. He invites these doubting disciples back into a relationship with him, because by his work, he has made them his children. And this really is my first point tonight, and it's taken from a hero of Ben's, J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, wherever there is true grace, there will be a consciousness of love towards Christ. Demand and resentment will get you nowhere. It never produces that which you're hoping for. Demand and resentment never produce love. It only, in the end, produces anger, and it kills ministry. And this is important to remember, Ben, as you shepherd St. George's. And St. George's, this is important for you to remember as you serve together with Ben the city of Dayton, Ohio. You may have heard it said, it's always better to be safe rather than sorry. Not in ministry. It is always better to be sorry rather than be safe. Because it is where you are sorry that you can be forgiven. It's where you are sorry that you can be taken back to the beginnings and have that redeemed to move forward together in the future. And it is in forgiveness, it is in grace, that you will encounter Christ, and the consciousness of love towards Christ will be realized. Now, not to toot my own horn, but that was supposed to be funny. But this is in order to convey the sacredness and the seriousness of the mission given to Peter. And in order to convey the sacredness and the seriousness of the mission given to you, Ben, and to St. George's Church. Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. This is both solemn and serious. And the order here is of immense importance. Notice, Jesus doesn't say, feed my sheep, Peter, and show me that you love me. And it is this order, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. It is this order that sets the New Testament and Christian ministry apart from everything else in the world. And what makes what's going on here incredibly unique. You see, the world teaches that action defines the intent. And if the action was good, there must have been a good intention. But this just isn't true. Ladies, you know the difference between when your spouse gets you flowers to get out of the doghouse versus flowers just because he loves you. Maybe am I right? The intent changes everything. And this is what Jesus is teaching Peter here. The intent defines the action. Love precedes the feeding. And this is my second point. In Christianity, in Christian ministry, love always precedes the feeding. Love always precedes the tending. Love always precedes our doing. Because love produces compassion. Love produces courage. Love produces freedom. And we do this because, like Peter, we have received in baptism from Christ the pardon and forgiveness of sins. Never forget that message that we have received in baptism, that you taste in communion, that you hear proclaimed from this pulpit, the pardon and forgiveness of sins. And you are a fortunate congregation because your rector won't let you forget it. Like a broken record, you will hear this message in every single one of Ben's sermons in some form or another. Now some folks will say, well, that's a bit harsh, that's a bit redundant, it's a bit negative. However, let me tell you, where I come from, New York City, there are thousands of people in therapy all over the place in New York City, and it's a good thing. But they have no idea why they're there. And I bet you the equivalent is true in dating. They're in therapy, and they have no idea why they're there. They're victims and victimizers. And everyone's telling them, just get over it. Get past that event, you know, your broken marriage. Get past the death of your child. Get past that addiction. Just move on. It's not that bad. But the truth is, it is that bad. The denial of Christ was that bad. What Peter needed was pardon. What Peter needed was forgiveness. It was that love which inspired Christ to say, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And it's that pardon and that forgiveness is what this world, what this city needs to hear. A message of compassion, a message of grace and forgiveness is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is actually the commission of every pastor and every church. As ambassadors and embassies of heaven, we are not to zealously give people to do this in order to be holy. We are not to loudly and courageously deliver new messages, but to lovingly and caringly care for Christ's flock and the community through word and swore he wasn't going to betray Jesus, and he did it three times. And we see if you read